Yevamos Perek Tezvav Mishnah Vav L'Zecher Nishmas Esther Bas Shalom. More stories of women who hate each other and the dead man who loved them. Ha'isha Shaholcha Hi Uvalo L'Medina Sayam. A woman went away on a second honeymoon with her husband to Medina Sayam by herself. There was a tzara, but the tzara got left at home. So clearly these two women are not happy with each other, but one of them is feeling rather triumphant. And then Uvav Amra, the woman who went away on the cruise, comes back and says, Meis Bali, my husband died. Tinase betitel ksubasa. She can remarry and take her ksuba. But the tsarasa, the tsara who was left at home or who missed the whole story, asura, she is not allowed to remarry. What's going on here? We are worried that the woman who is testifying her husband's dead might lie. Why is she lying? Because she wants to ruin the tsara's life. She wants to see the tsara get remarried and then have to get divorces from everybody and get no ksuba, and that's her plan. Now, in this case, she's going to ruin her own life in the process. Because if the husband shows back up again, she also is going to have to get all kinds of divorces and lose money and all the rest of that. But we're afraid that this woman hates her tzara so much that she would rather ruin her own life as long as the other woman's life is ruined too. So our answer is simple in a devious way. The co-wife's life is not ruined. The tzara is not ruined because we don't let her do anything. The only one who's going to get ruined if the husband comes back is this woman. So she's going to have some long nights staring up at the ceiling thinking about what she did to her own life, while the tzara will be absolutely fine. When the husband comes back, the tzara can go back to him and she'll be the only wife. Ha! Haisa Bas Yisrael Lekohen. What if the woman who testifies about the husband, and the husband was a Kohen, and the co-wife, who is not allowed to remarry, the tzara is a bas yisrael. Now, while her husband's alive, she can eat truma. When he's dead, she can't eat truma. So what do we say? So, tochal b'truma, divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, although the tzara is not allowed to remarry and get out of the marriage, we say, therefore, that she can keep eating truma. We are assuming that the husband is still alive, that the woman who returned from the cruise is just trying to ruin the tzara's life. And so, just like we don't let the co-wife get out of the marriage to remarry, we don't force the co-wife to give up the benefits of marriage like eating truma. We assume the husband's still alive and that the woman who came back from the cruise was a liar. Rabbi Akiva Omer, but Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says, "Ein zu derech motzi ata midei avera." This is not a way to save her from doing an avera, because she might eat prohibited truma after her husband dies. That would be a huge avera. The fact that the testimony will not allow the tzara to remarry is because we suspect the woman from the cruise might be lying. But just because we suspect that doesn't mean we're going to let the tzara be over a huge lav by eating truma. We can't allow that either. So we have to treat it as a suffix. Maybe he's dead, maybe he's not. Asha tehei asura linase vasura milechol betruma. So rather, what we should do is let her be forbidden from remarrying, but also forbid her from eating truma. We have to treat it as a suffix. If he's dead, then she can't eat truma anymore. If he's alive, then she can't remarry. So we'll be machmir on her in both ways. So maybe the co-wife did ruin her a little bit by limiting her so much. Mishnah Zayin. Omra meis bali va'achar kach meis chami. A woman comes back and she said, first my husband died and then my father-in-law died. So she testified about the death of her husband, but then as a daughter-in-law, she testified about the father-in-law as well. Now, we said already that we don't believe a woman who would let her mother-in-law remarry, because we think she's trying to ruin her mother-in-law's life. We also assume that a mother-in-law would try to ruin her daughter-in-law's life. So what we're worried about in our Mishnah, this daughter-in-law, when she says her husband died, so she might be messing up her own life, but when she says that her father-in-law died, is she trying to really ruin her mother-in-law and watch her mother-in-law go out and marry somebody else and then watch the father come home and watch all heck break loose? So what do we say? Tinase v'titel ksubasa. This woman who testified that her husband died can remarry and collect her ksuba. V'chamosa asura. But just like the tzara case in the previous Mishnah, we don't allow the mother-in-law to remarry. She can testify about her own marriage. She can't testify about her mother-in-law's marriage. So we think, even though she might have made up the story about both of them so that she could ruin her mother-in-law's life, we're only going to let her ruin her own life, not her mother-in-law's. Haisa Bas Yisrael LeKohen. If it was a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, meaning the mother-in-law was the Bas Yisrael and the father-in-law was the Kohen, Tochal B'Truma Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, as we saw in the previous Mishnah, stays consistent and says there's no real evidence that the husband is dead, so why shouldn't she keep eating Truma? But Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Zo Derech Motziato Midei Avera, this isn't going to save her from doing a terrible Avera if the husband is dead, the father-in-law, then she's not going to be allowed to eat Truma and she'll be eating Truma B'Isser. Rather, Rabbi Akiva continues to maintain his point of view, and we say that she is usher to remarry, she is trapped for the suffix that he might still be alive, and she is usher to eat truma as well on the suffix issue that he might be dead. Next case, Kidesh Achas Mechamesh Noshim. This is actually a fairly famous story that comes up in Kiddushin as well. Somebody gave Erison to one of five women. Maybe he sent the shliach and said, marry one of those five women for me. They all live in a row on the same block. Marry one of them for me. And the shliach didn't tell him which one that he was mekadesh on his behalf. Or he forgot who it was. He was courting five women at once and he married one, but he can't remember which one. Ben yodea ezakideh. She doesn't remember which one he married. Kalachas omeres osikideh. And every one of them says, ooh, it was me. So everybody claims to be his wife. He knows he only betrothed one of them, but all the other four are all claiming that they are also the wife of his heart. No saying get l'cholachas v'achas. He has to give a get to every single one of them. Because we don't know which one he's married to, he's got to give a get to them all. Umeiniach suba beinehem. And what he does is he drops the ksuba payment in the middle of the five women, umistalik, and he gets out of the way. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says that he leaves the money, the 200 zuz, in trust for whichever one can really prove that she was the one married. But he leaves the money in kind of a custodial account. I've personally preferred the idea of him dumping it in the middle and then everybody goes scratching each other's eyes out to grab the money. But that, says the Gemara, is not what happens. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Zo Derech Motziato Midei Avera. So Rabbi Akiva then says, this is not the way to save him from an Avera. So what should he do? Ashiyiten Gedek Ksuba L'Cholachas V'Achas. He has to pay every single one of them, he has to give them a get, and he has to pay a Ksuba for every one. So instead of putting down 200 Zuz, he has to put down 1,000 Zuz. How come? This is a Knas on him. Because if he betrothed one of them inappropriately. And what the Gemara says that that means is that what he did was he did Kiddushin through Bia, which the Rabbanon we say is an improper thing. Kiddushin should be through Kesef or Shtar, not through Bia as an act of Kiddushin. So we're actually knas him for doing things that way. I guess maybe that's why he doesn't know who it is. It was dark, he doesn't remember who it was. If, however, he had done it through Kesef or Shtar, he does not get a penalty. He does what Rabbi Tarfon said and leaves the money in a custodial account and let them figure it out. Next case, similar to this. Gozal Echad Mechamisha. Somebody stole money out of the coat pocket of some guy at the mikvah, and he doesn't know who it was. There were five coats hanging there, and he stole $100. He doesn't know who it was. Vein yodea me'eza gozal. He doesn't know who he stole it from. Kol echad omer osi gozal. And of course, every one of the guys said, he stole from me. So who does he owe the money to? So meniach zeh lebeinehem u'mustalik divrei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says the same halacha. Leave the $100 between them, put it in trust, and whoever can prove that it was really his money, fine, he'll get the money. But until then, I'm only chayav to return the one gezela. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Zo Derech Motziato Midei Avera. This is not the way to save him from doing an Avera. Rather, Ashi Yishalim Zeylo Chalecha Ve'echad. He has to pay $100 to every single one of the guys five times. So he has to pay 500% of what he actually stole. It's a penalty to make sure that the person is going to get his money back properly, even though the other guys are lying. However, if it's a situation, says the Gemara, where he bought something from one of five people and doesn't know who to pay, then he can leave the purchase price because there's no avera of a gzela that needs to be returned. In this case, it's veheshev es hagzela asher gozol, says the Torah, so we make him go above and beyond and pay a lot of extra money to make sure that the true victim gets his money back. Of course, it means four other people are lying and getting money for nothing, and they'll get theirs later on eventually, but not right now because we can't prove it.